Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Yes.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic Rockfin Odyssey, oh, not YouTube with this one, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate your amazing support. And we couldn't do the show without our sponsors. Thank you to our newest sponsor, True Hemp Science. They have stepped up. They built a landing page for us. You can go check it out. That's truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. They're building some really great products out there. They sent me a bunch that it fixed my shoulder in less than 2 weeks. I'm eternally grateful and definitely going to continue recommending it. Look, not all CBD products are created equally. They're not the same. Some are better than others. These guys are geeks about it. They are hardcore scientists. They're building the best product out there. They're a small company in Austin, Texas. If you are in the market for CBD related products, you can check them out. I'll tell you what, the deal that they're putting is spend $65 or more and you will get a free 297 milligram bottle of number 81 distillate is what they call it. It's a $26 value. They'll throw it in for you. They've got free shipping on orders over $150. I'll tell you, if you're thinking about getting your friends, family members or something for Christmas, this makes a nice stocking stuffer. They'll probably won't buy it for themselves, but they'll use it if you send it to them. I've had tremendous results. So take a look on your way out. Use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. And we also want to thank our sponsors, C60 Purple Power. Thank you so much to them. They've been amazing. Small business right down the street from me here in Boulder, Colorado. They've been building the best C60 product out there. Just ask Cliff High. He's a huge fan of it. You can take a look at their website, c60purplepower.com. Use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease, but you can still buy it. And it still works really great. So use the promo code MACRO, c60purplepower.com. All right. Now we got the business out of the way. Let's get down to the fun stuff. The hosts of WTAF on Iconic, also the host of The Walk and Glitch in the Matrix. We have Rich Willett, Gareth Ike, coming from the UK. What's going on, guys? How are you? Good to see you again.
Thank you.
I'm trying to have a common Cliff. Hi, that's such an amazing name.
Oh yeah, is it Tina Turner? Charlie, you're frozen. Oh my, there you are. There you're back. Yeah. It's, I'm good.
In Denver. Living in Denver, here. You'll freeze. You'll freeze up easy. Not just on camera either, but just out and walking around. First things first. Is your queen dead and on ice somewhere? Please tell me.
Ooh, I don't know. Do you know what about that though, which I find funny, is that that conspiracy was flying around social media and it was being pushed around a lot by sort of self-confessed socialists who take the mickey out of conspiracy theorists all the time.
Mm.
And that the Queen's dead and everyone knows about it and the media knows about it and the government knows about it, but they're keeping it hush-hush. I'd say that was conspiracy, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But it mean just makes... ice, like the drug, like the street drug. Is that what they're talking about?
What's that?
Ice. It's a street drug, isn't it? Is it like meth?
Yes. Maybe in Norwich.
She might be on that. She might be on meth.
But that's what they probably mean, that she's just in the house off her tits again.
Well, she's not allowed a one martini anymore, is she, Richard? We covered that. So maybe she's turned to that. Maybe she's on Black Mamba or something.
why are they all a bunch of pedophiles? Is this a prerequisite to get in the family? Like why? Like we've got Charles and Savile. We've got Andrew and Epstein. We've got all the other guys, you know, all the older, the OGs that are all dead and hopefully. Well,
yeah, Mountbatten. He was a gold medalist.
Yeah, he was. What the fuck is going on here?
I know. I know it's very strange.
It's not specific necessarily to your country. Obviously, our elite people use, you know, they've got their whole thing going on too. We had the Franklin scandal here. We've got a bunch of we've got the Finders cults and all that stuff, disappearing kids. But this is a strange component that I understand these people wanting to stay in power. I understand these people having money and being able to do things that the rest of them aren't able to do. But the pedophilia component to me always seemed a bit weird. All the things you could do, right? These people are free to do whatever they want to do. I don't know. It's just, that's not on my list of things that I would want to do, but apparently you got to do that to get in the club. Is that what's going on here?
It is a weird one, isn't it, Rich? I think because you can see it as a bit of a chicken and the egg thing, because it's like, are they in positions of power because that's part of it? You have to be part of that pedophile club to be in positions of power. Or is it that they recruit those people? Right. Because they're easily controlled. So if I want to recruit someone that I want to easily control and be able to manipulate, and they're not going to do anything kind of out from the pathway that I'm setting for them, someone with a vice or something horrific in the closet would be ideal, because you've always got that, mate, if you step out of line, this will come out. Do you know what I mean? Like almost like that Robert Maxwell thing. Robert Maxwell, you know, was part of the Mossad, and then he stepped out of line a bit, and all of a sudden, his fat body's floating in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if that's part of it.
Yeah, I think there's an epigenetic thing that a lot of people miss. I think there is a lot of epigenetics, and I think there's a trauma that carries down through genetic lines that they don't want to carry on to. That they put this genetic trauma into their family bloodline, and they carry it down the bloodline. So I think that's why you get repetitive abusers down the bloodline. I also think that this whole original sin thing ties into epigenetics. So the original sin that we're all paying off was a sin that was done then, and it's actually passed down through genetically through bloodlines. So I do believe there's an epigenetic energy that passed down through the bloodlines. But people like Bill Gates would have been a victim of this sort of thing. And then obviously, I'm not saying he's a paedophile, but I'm saying that he's a victim of abuse. I would guarantee it that he was. His father was head of Planned Parenthood. So he's going to obviously inflict that abuse on and on and on and on. And you find that that's a major part of what these people understand, how human beings and how we're created, stuff that we are not openly talking about. And I think epigenetics and paedophilia is something that people haven't actually started to look into. That trauma can be imprinted in the DNA as it passed down through these bloodlines. Absolutely. And I think that's something worth bringing up that I've not actually heard anyone else speak about.
What do you think about William and what do you think about about Prince Harry. Like, what's his situation now? He's first of all, I mean, I don't want to, obviously conspiracy theory, right? That he doesn't look like the rest of them, probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. He looks like he was maybe, you know, I mean, I've heard King Juan Carlos' son, I've heard the others out there. He's not part of this team, is he not? I mean, is that the way that the reason why they're able to sort of jettison him and let him go to the U.S. and get Netflix deals and pretend to be, you know, victimized and all that shit?
I don't know. It's James Hewitt, isn't it? It looks like James Hewitt.
I think so. I mean, he looks just like him.
He does look just like him. Yeah. It's a weird one really, because I think what they portray on the face of it and what they do in behind the scenes are two totally separate things. Mm. I don't think the cult, in terms of their vision for where they want to take us, would have a royal family. I think the time is up on the royal family, if I'm honest. But what will happen then is those same bloodlines will then just go into different positions in different places, in the same way they did when they did away with the French royal family. These royal families then just dip into banking and politics and whatever else. So maybe Harry just jumped ship a little bit early. But I'm sure that, you know, if you trace that Saxe Gotha, Coburg Gotha, you know, line, say in 50 years to 100 years, say if the royal family was over, they would still be in very influential positions, just not royal ones.
Gotcha. They'd be running Netflix with Oprah.
Yeah. What is Oprah?
I see. It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, she is part of, I mean, a lot of her connections, I've looked into quite a bit of Oprah's, like connections with Dave Geffen, who's head of this pink mafia in Hollywood. Dave Geffen is a massive, he was CIA. He was part of the 1970s hippie movement that got that coming out of the canyon. So this thing, and she's massively involved with Paul McCartney and all of those, Harvey Weinstein, Dave Geffen, Steven Spielberg. So there's an element of this mega group, which Trump's part of as well, that goes out that side as well. People don't seem to realize that how long this has gone on and how many different labels and groups and subcategories that this goes into. But if you've got to that point and you're pushed to that point, then you've either been involved with it, or you owe something to them. Look at the people that on LBC, some of these journalists are not journalists. Clearly, they're just on there bullying people. You have to think, well, what do they have in their closet that can be brought up with them? Because to behave in the way that these people are now behaving, it would take someone either psychopathic and getting off on it, or someone who's terrified not to do it. So this has gone on for, this is a tangled web that we're starting to see brought out into the sunlight, and it's a messy, messy, messy game.
Yeah, I remember before I was even awake to all of this, maybe even like one of the first red pills I was given was 95. I was living in LA and I had been connected with this photographer, and I was meeting with him. I was shooting pictures with him. He's a nice guy. And we weren't shooting, we were just talking about whatever. And he mentioned that his roommate was a model, like a male model guy, and nobody knows who male model guys are, except for this particular guy. I knew who he was because he was on the cover of all of like the men's health and men's fitness magazines. He was like the guy that was on the cover like twice a year of each of these. He was kind of recognizable. And so I was like, oh shit, I know who your roommate is. And he's like, you want to hear a crazy story? David Geffen tried to pay him $100,000 to have sex with him. I go, well, is your roommate gay? And he's like, no, he's straight. He goes, that's what he gets off on. He gets off on paying straight guys to have sex with him. I was like, that's fucking disgusting, right? So I have that in my head in 95. Years later, I meet up with an A-minus list TV actor who would be in the know, and he was good friends with my business partner, and so we were at his house and having like kind of like a private conversation. I said, hey, I heard this story about David Geffen, have you ever heard anything similar? And he goes, oh shit, he goes, that stuff is all true. And I was like, really? He's like, oh yeah. He said, that's the most dangerous guy in Hollywood. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I know that the David Geffen stories of him, like I said, I mean, now I've been hearing, that's 20, 25 years or so ago that I've been hearing that. So we've got a problem with these predators in Hollywood. What do you call it? The pink mafia. Yeah. That's a, well, That's
what would that be now with inflation? 100 grand in 95. I'm just thinking.
Maybe like a quarter of a million bucks, 200,000. I don't know, maybe double, triple.
I could do it. I could do a lot with that.
I mean, I remember, it's nothing to David Geffen, but it's just enough to get somebody to do something that they might not want to do. But that was what he liked. That was the part that he liked, was getting people to do something they wouldn't want to do. And I was like, that is beyond just being like, oh, I'm a homosexual who's attracted to other men. That guy's not gay. Well, fine. No, it's like, it's not just that. I want you to compromise yourself for money, for me.
Oh, yeah, it's power.
That's power, yeah. Man. That's sick. That's sick.
Geffen's in it. Do you remember that? There was a great documentary. I actually interviewed the guy who produced it. It was about Nickelodeon, and it was about the boys' club. It was, what's it called? It's a very, very good documentary. It's called off the top of my head. But
boys' club?
No, it was about a Nickelodeon, and it was a channel that they saw. It was an early version of online streaming, and it was a thing set up in the early 2000s.
Then.
And it was then.
Digital Entertainment Network.
That's it. Digital Entertainment Network. Well, Geffen was one of the funders of Then.
Well, that technology went on to become YouTube. They took that technology and Stephen Shannon, those guys used that technology, or I guess it was part of it was supposed to be. That's Brock Pierce. He's the guy behind Tether.
He's a very big crypto guy. I saw him
in Acapulco, man. He flew in on like a private jet and everything. Like he's like a crypto billionaire. I saw him in Acapulco. People were like, whoa. They're like, you know who that is? I'm like, yeah, it's that fucking pedophile guy from Den. Why is he here? And they're like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's no kids here as well. But did he fly in on the Lolita Express? Speaking of that, Ghislaine Lech, is it Maxwell's court case this week? No one's speaking about it.
No one cares. Terrorism's back. That's why. All these suicide bombers that have been terrified of COVID, they're back now, aren't they?
Well, they've got the vaccine, of course, so they're fine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't want to catch a deadly cold if you're going to blow your tits off, would you?
No.
Exactly. The last thing you want to do is get to the afterlife and all those virgins and have a runny nose.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's good planning, really. Like much like Muhammad Atta putting the note in his luggage and then checking his bag onto the airplane. And then United losing his luggage, and then they find it. So it's kind of like that.
It's really, really good. I was making sure when I'm going to blow things up that my passport has got like some kind of coating on it, so it definitely won't get destroyed.
Right.
When everything else gets destroyed, that's always important.
You've got to chuck it out the window as the towers come down. You've got to, on the way down, make sure you just bung it out the window, because they need that. They need to recognize where the bits of you are.
I'll tell you what, man. I was just on an airplane. You can't do that anymore. You cannot throw your passport out the window. The fucking stewardesses, if you don't have your mask secured around your nose properly, they will tackle you and pummel you. They are so, it is warfare against the flight attendants these days. I just get on the plane. I put a jacket over my head and I just take all the mask stuff off and I just pretend like I'm dead for a couple hours, like the guy.
What is America like now? Is it literally different worlds from states to state?
Yes. It is like, I'm in Colorado now.
Oh, Stephen Hawkins. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in Colorado. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. Am I glitching out or something? And then I went to Las Vegas last week and it was like, you got to wear your masks in the taxi cabs. You've got to wear them in the casinos. You got to wear them in the grocery stores. I come back to Colorado. You don't have to do any of that stuff. So COVID is specific, you know, state by state. COVID has different instructions, I guess. I don't know. It's nonsensical and ridiculous, but I believe that is kind of part of it. Like it's kind of part of the plan is that it's supposed to kind of break your brain a little bit. So it doesn't make any sense. You can go to Florida and do whatever you want to do. And if you go to New York City, they won't even let you in a restaurant unless you've got a COVID passport. But Florida, wide open, do whatever you want. So it's a weird place. We're getting into like two distinct realities where people are starting to pool in states that have more of what they're looking for. And surprisingly, some people are looking for more authoritarian control because they're terrified of this virus. So to them, going to New York City or going to Los Angeles or San Francisco is like where they're headed. Like, let's go. They're not afraid to lock us all down. Like, these are mentally ill people, obviously. And then you've got the other batch that are saying, I'm going to Texas, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to Tennessee, I'm going to the places. Surprisingly, all three of those states don't have state income tax too. So they already are kind of predisposed to giving the middle finger to the federal government a little bit. So it's a weird mix. And I'm in Colorado, which is kind of a mix of both. It's like liberal in Denver, in the city, and then outside of it, it's more rural and everyone is more conservative leaning. So we have like schizophrenia here. How's it where you guys are?
It's kind of similar, really, I guess. When I go into the city, because I'm a few miles out of the city, when I go into the city, it's like 28 days later, it's just like the walking dead. But out in the village, like, no one's bothered. No one really was, even in the big, you know, main lockdown in March 2020. No one was bothered here. And I tried to work out what that was about. Why is it that people in villages are not bothered? Because people here weren't born here. They, like, it's just kind of, what is it about village life? And I kind of, part of me thought, because everyone knows everyone and everyone knows everyone's not ill and they know everyone's not dying here, the difference between what you see on your TV and what you see in reality are so stark that you're not having it. Whereas in the city, I think there's probably a little bit where it's much bigger. It's kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe we're getting away with it in my little bit of the city, but maybe that bit of the city is dreadful, you know? So you can kind of almost create this illusion in your mind that it's like, you know, Baghdad, you know, down the road. But here it's been great. I've been really fortunate in that sense. What about Norwich, Rich? How's Norwich been?
I don't know. I don't usually go 45 minutes away from my house, but when I do go 45 minutes away from my house, it's a nightmare in Norwich. It's ridiculous. But where I live is just, well, in a little village. You would have known, but to be fair, it's not the brightest people in the world. So they kind of went along with it, but they would go along with anything. They'd set fire to their own arseholes if you told them to. But they're not doing that anymore as much. But they will wear masks everywhere, and they will toddle along. But they're just head down, shuffle along people, but they always were before that. So it doesn't surprise me how they are. But again, I think part of this actually, and I don't know what you guys think about this, I think this is a testing game to see how many people, what size of a population is perfect to control. If you look at New Zealand or Austria, the size of population, okay, we can control this many amount of people, but we can't control this amount of people. And I think if all these types of people, and I think this is all an experiment, I think for the next 10 years, they're just playing around with populations, types of people, belief systems, and seeing what is the easiest to control. Because where I come from, I'm probably the only person that thinks this is actually madness, me and my partner, me and Sam.
Shit, think this is really? Bollocks.
Yeah, really? And then there's, honest mate, there's no one around who doesn't think this is, like, they think it's mad, but they're not going to do anything about it. They're not going to say anything about it. They'll go along with it. No one's got any backbone where I live, so it's quite sad, really. So, me and Sam, basically, Sam just sent me a message. She had supposed to have a Zoom call because she works for the NHS. They told him at 5 o'clock last night that they would have a consultation with staff about the mandating of this experiment on human beings. Told him at 5 o'clock last night. So Sam logged in today. She couldn't get in, and she said she watched it back and she was horrified and disgusted by about the compliance of everyone. I don't think it's a coincidence that Sam couldn't get in, put it that way.
Oh.
I think this was they were shutting out people on purpose. So this it is what it is. It's what we've always said that was coming down the line, and this is, we are here, and I don't know what to say about it. Partly it's terrifying, partly it's funny because it's so ridiculous. But we've got to start realizing that I think that there is a brave new world coming. And then we're going to need to realize that we are going to be segregated at some point. I'm happy with that as long as you just leave us alone and get on with it.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I want. Yeah. I can't be asked to go to a Wetherspoons or a Walkabout with a bunch of melts now. Anyway, no. Wouldn't bother me. It's just as long as you can leave me alone. That's all I want. Just leave me alone.
Give us a village of like 100 of us that think the same and just fuck off, leave us alone. Don't need any more than that. Just go away.
They'll bomb the village, though. They'll just bomb you guys. I mean, that they're just, they can't help themselves. They're such, more. It's so, I wonder if the, what the common thread is with all of like the people on your wife's NHS call or whatever. Is it total obedience to the media? Is that the thing that, that you think that they all have in common, that they just haven't ever considered that just maybe sort of their media isn't telling them the entire truth? Or is it because their jobs are on the line, or both? Or
I think it's a mixture of things, but I think mostly is that they haven't even computed in their minds that this doesn't stop you getting it, passing it on, even towards the official narrative. They can't compute that in their head. They can't compute anything other than an in-out, a black and white thinking. So they can't compute that. And then they can't compute why they would be lied to. So they don't understand, like we do, who's lying to them, why they would lie, and what the outcome would be. So if you know the outcome of all this thing, then we know every little lie along the way, why it's there. They can't understand why they're being lied to, because they don't understand why. Why would this? And I had the same chat with my brother-in-law. He was like, well, why would they lie to you? And I said, it will take me 6 hours to explain to you why, if you want to know. But you're going to have to change your understanding of the whole worldview. Yeah. Because what you think is happening is not happening. And then it's dawning on you that something isn't right, and you all know something's right, but you don't know why. You haven't got context. And that's what me and Gaz always talk about. Without the context of the book, you don't understand what the paragraph means. And these guys are living in paragraph world. They're just like, they read a line and go, I don't fucking know, I'll just get it. Why are you being so awkward? Like, they, I know, are starting, right, but
a twig, they are starting to twig.
Yeah,
I think a bit of it, though, as well, Rich, is... And I'm seeing this from the likes of James Whale and all these other people that are being dead vitriolic, Jeremy Vine, people like that. They've had two sips of the Kool-Aid, and they're going to have another one if they've not had it already. And they're starting to panic, because there's a little bit of them, and it only needs to be 0.5% of them, that is terrified of anti-vaxxers, because, or they, what they call anti-vaxxers, because they're frightened that we might be right. And so in that desperation, they've got a choice, and it's almost like, right, what do I do? Do I admit I was wrong? Never going to happen. Okay, do I just sort of shut my mouth and skulk away? Well, no, because people are going to call me out on that. So I'm going to try and get as many people to, like, you know, double down. Almost like you've licked a battery. Oh, yeah, lick that. And then I'm annoyed that you won't lick it. Right. Whereas you're looking at it going, well, I'm obviously not going to lick it. Look at it. Look what's happening. Like another footballer collapsed last night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's mad. And people, I've seen that actually. Like, so when a couple of players collapsed in Britain, people like myself, Rich, and we're just sort of going, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it? And we were getting almost attacked. Like, oh, not everything's this. Is that, that's, someone's collapsed and you're being really disrespectful by linking it to this and all this sort of stuff. And now those people are like, it's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. Is a lot. And so when like last night, when this lad collapsed playing for Sheffield United and they got rushed off in an ambulance, there was very little, this is disgusting, anti-vaxxers taking advantage of this. There was a lot more kind of, yeah. Because the facts are there now. Like I think it's more players have collapsed in the last 4 months than pushing the last 20 years, I think. And so you have to be one hell of a coincidence theorist to kind of not notice that that's odd. The biggest one being Sergio Aguero. And I didn't want to laugh because I feel sorry for these footballers and sports people, because they think they're being made to take it. And obviously they don't have to do anything, but they think they do. So they take it and they collapse and sometimes they die. That's horrific. And I have sympathy for those. But Sergio Aguero was obviously probably the most high profile one of all of them, plays for Barcelona. He pushed that shit on kids. Yeah. So he took both his jabs and then went on TV in Argentina pushing it on the kids to get it. Now, he's a freaking hero to kids in Argentina. So I guarantee there would have been a load of kids that would have gone out and got this as a result of Sergio Aguero saying, get it. And obviously now his heart's gone bang and he's retired and will never play again. And it's almost like my sympathy for you is literally, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and now he's going to have to admit that as well, isn't he? I've said this to people in the alternative media are supposed to be actually doing this, and they've come out with, well, it's heat stroke. And I was like, one of them was playing ice hockey, you fuck nugget. How can a heat stroke on an ice hockey rink? But they honestly, I mean, naming no names, but they've said it's heat stroke. But what are you talking about? They're elite footballers that play year round. all the time, not year round. They play in the summer most of the time. It's like,
hang on,
in England.
Like, so we're suggesting the lad last night, Fleck, he plays for Sheffield United, Sheffield, Yorkshire, in November, collapsed because of heat stroke. Is that what we're going with?
This was a few weeks back.
It was much warmer back then.
People were going on about it. Well, it was a few weeks back. We had a blast of warmth to be fair. As well.
Climate change.
Yeah, that would have been the next one, wouldn't it?
Maybe COVID. That's what's getting them. Have we considered that maybe they're all dying from climate change?
It's COVID change, isn't it? You just stick them all together. It won't be climate change. It'll be COVID change. And what the guy in, was it the guy in Canada?
Yeah.
First guy to be diagnosed with climate change.
Yeah.
Suffering from climate change.
Thoughts and prayers.
How do you suffer from that?
Yeah.
Suffering, being the next thing, you'll suffer from haircuts. It's like, what are you talking about? And this is what they're doing. Gaz, and I was speaking to someone last night. They're changing the meaning of words.
Oh, yeah.
And isn't it like the Tower of Babylon? They're changing the meaning of what anti-vaxxer means to someone who doesn't want an experimental vaccine or a jab or gene therapy, which we know it is. They're changing what it means to be vaccinated. So now you're not vaccinated if you've not had the boosters. That's right. Not what the meaning of unvaccinated means. But they're changing the meaning of words, changing the meaning of the words, what a vaccine means and what a pandemic means. They're doing what they did in the Tower of Babylon. They're changing the meaning of words. So we can't communicate anymore, because what it means to us with a brain in our heads and some common sense doesn't mean that to them anymore. So the people in the ICU units, apparently, which I don't believe, they're not, but they're in there, they're unvaccinated. No, they're not. They've got one or two, but not the booster jabs.
Right.
That's where you're counting. So you're changing the categories and meanings of words. So we can't communicate, because what I think you mean, you no longer mean. That's what happened with the Tower of Babylon. They use the same hermetic principles through the ages, because they can't create anything new because they're thick. And they just update them, rebrand them. And that's what they're doing. So now what we're talking about is not what they're talking about. And that's kind of evil genius, but it's where we're at.
It's a beautiful way of lying with statistics as well, which obviously Bill Gates was promoting as one of his top five books to read. But because I did wonder, because obviously all these medical professionals and scientists and people came out early doors, including Robert Malone, who obviously invented mRNA technology, came out early doors voicing their concerns of what would happen to the double jabbed in 3 to 6 months, right? And I remember thinking at the time, how are they going to hide this? Like, how are they going to hide the fact that all these people are dropping like flies? Yeah, okay, they'll redesignate it as COVID. Of course they will. That's what they've done for 2 years. But if these people are vaccinated, how is that going to square? Mm-hmm. And you go, what they've done with the booster is freaking genius. Because now anyone that dies without the booster, who's double jabbed and maybe even dies as a result of being double jabbed, which was obviously what these people were voicing a concern of, what was going to happen 3 to 6 months down the line. Hmm. They're now going to go down as an unvaccinated COVID death.
Yes. Yep.
It's genius. And the other thing they've done as well with the vaccine, not that it's a vaccine, is that you're not fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after your second dose.
Yes.
So if you take one dose and die, they can take a vaccine death and turn it into an unvaccinated COVID death.
Right.
Fucking mad.
I mean, it's very smart. It's very clever. They're not stupid. They're fucking idiots, but they're not stupid.
Yeah, they've got that. They know that the majority of the people that are going to just fall over dead from this, that's going to happen within a 2 week window. So they move the 2 week window out and they say, well, listen, you're not technically vaccinated until we get to that 15th day or whatever. And then, so they've got a big window. Anybody that drops dead there, not only are they technically unvaccinated, they're also now a COVID death. So it doesn't get put on them for a vaccine death. So they're absolved of that. But they rack up one more COVID death too, which is exactly what they want. It's brilliant. They've been doing this here too. They changed the term, the definition of herd immunity, it well in advance. They changed the way in which you count, you report the death on the death certificate. There are two columns, one column and a second column. And they made a maneuver in the end of March 2020 so that they changed it so that under the new way of designating deaths, you could put COVID in the first column and then everything else would go in the second column. The second column would be sort of obscured. It'd be like things that may have caused death, but column one is definitely what caused death, and they switched them so that now it just piles up with COVID everywhere because they're allowed to classify it that way. So it's like,
we're in the middle of a pandemic. Everybody's going to die, right? We're 3 weeks in. The priority is changing the way you record deaths, changing the terminology of herd immunity, changing the terminology of vaccine. These are the priorities that you've made, not doing any of the other stuff. We're worried about words now and how it can. Yeah. So you can tell that they have brought their lawyers in, that they've talked about how do we dance around this? How do we legally get ourselves out of this? How can we change? So it's just an unusual thing. People say, well, you know, there's a lot going on. Mistakes were made. Yeah, mistakes were made. There is a lot going on. But these are specific things that these maniacs chose to do in the middle of a, quote, pandemic that just so happened to benefit their side and make things look a different way. So I didn't know that. I mean, I know they're doing it here in the US. Are they doing stuff like that in the UK too, as far as classifications? Are they rewriting the way they designate deaths and so that it just piles up for COVID or what?
100%. 100%. Any death within 28 days of either a positive test or a doctor or a medical professional thought that maybe they might have had, which is bad enough because we've had deaths of people from gunshot wounds. We've had deaths of people in car crashes, obviously cancers and stuff like that. Also, one guy, I think in Yorkshire it was, fell 12 foot off a ladder. He's a COVID death, caved his head in. And then for a large period of the summer last year, it went up to 60 days. So if you think you've got an average age of around about 83 and a half, 84, and you can designate that, okay, they've got COVID. Now I've got 60 days for someone in their 80s to die of any cause. I mean, your odds are pretty high of taking quite a lot with you. And the other thing as well, having spoke to John O'Looney, who's a funeral director, he said that he was going in and taking bodies out of care homes, people that had died of, you know, whatever they died of. They were on their way out, you know. Terminally ill people, very old and frail, and he'd take them off and he'd get a phone call from the coroner or someone that was designated by the coroner to basically add up COVID deaths. So he'd say, right, how many deaths have you had this week? And obviously John would be like, right, I've had five this week, blah blah blah. And he said that the guy was saying, right, well what did they that one's COVID then? And because it was in a care home, and John was saying, no, they didn't die of COVID, they died like you know, onset dementia X, Y, and Z, blah blah blah. And the guy was saying, yeah, but there was COVID in that care home. So I'll put down COVID. And that's what they were doing. He said that they were doing that. And he said to me, he said that at the early doors at that point, he had he didn't know what was real and what wasn't. But as soon as that started happening, he was going, now, hang on a minute. This is a scam. And then obviously he looked into it further. So yeah, absolutely. They're doing that here. Like I've spoke to Rich before. I know two people, bear in mind, it's nearly 2 years. I know two people that have died of COVID. One is a friend's uncle and one is a friend's father. And both families were trying to have the death certificate overturned because neither were COVID.
Wow.
One was a pneumonia and a kidney failure, diabetes. Like basically the guy had a million different things wrong and was very unwell. And the second one was, I think he'd survived 8 weeks into a, you've got 6 weeks left to live diagnosis for cancer.
Mm.
So that family was saying, no, he's fought cancer for years and, you know, and then, you know, succumbed to the battle in the end. I'm not having you putting that down and making him a statistics and sort of making a mockery of his fight against cancer, you know?
Right.
So it's mad.
Do you guys have a woke problem there in the UK? Because we've got like a real, there's a real problem with these lunatics, man. They're getting on my nerve. I mean, obviously in my new book, I did a whole section on them. They're so fun to make fun of, but I don't see on my social media, I don't see you guys having to deal with the horse shit that we have, which the tearing down of statues, the installing of third bathrooms, safe spaces and stuff like that. I just wonder, I don't want to hog all this stuff here in the US. I want to make sure that there's enough to go around for the rest of you guys, because you're really missing out if you don't get this. Do you have, what is the woke situation in the UK?
Do you want to take this, Rich?
I'm sure it's funny. I'm sure it's got to be funny because you guys are all like, to me, everything that's funny when the UK gets it and puts their slant on it, it's like funny times five. So I got to imagine that the woke component of this is just hysterical.
I noticed this years ago. I noticed this 8 or 9 years ago, starting with young people that would spout stuff, very odd stuff. that they believed to be true, and it was all feelings. And it was, I feel this to be true. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Mm. And then you would notice how they've got a uniform, and it's usually a different colored hair every 2 or 3 weeks, bright, so pink, gone on, rainbow colored, basically rainbow colored hair. They would often wear like Grebo-y colored, like uniforms. And they were feelings all over the place. They would spread feelings everywhere. Yeah. And everything would be a drama. I think it's called histrionic is called. It's like borderline personality disorder, basically stuck in a person. And I noticed this a long time ago. And then obviously Extinction Rebellion came along, Black Lives Matter. They tap into all of these, I'm a victim, or I want to stand up for the repressed, but because I'm repressed. And you don't understand why. And then they all have their, like Gaz is always talking about, they always have their stuff in their bio and their rainbows and their his, it's, hers, LBGT and all. And they attached onto that. And they're geeks as well. So they're keyboard geeks. And it was always a really off, disturbed feeling. And this happened years ago as a youth worker. And I could see it coming then. So this isn't anything new. They just tapped into it and then let them go mad. They're like the Joker kind of psychopathy, running around just talking nonsense, but they're allowed to do it because it serves a purpose, and they don't even know it, which is the real sad thing. They have no idea what a caricature they have become of a human being, of themselves. They think that they're individuals just like everybody else.
They love labels. Like, they love to put labels on themselves. I'm a LGBT queer non-binary, he, him, she, him, whatever. And then there's all the little labels in the bio. Like, they want to be, I don't want to be, I want the exact opposite. I want people to leave me alone. They want to be so unique that they're like the most perfect snowflake out there, and everybody hates them for it. And they're completely repressed. And so that means that we have to chain ourselves to the bridge. So you can't, because of carbon.
They're mad. They're on stage going, everybody look at me, but don't look at me.
Oh,
everybody look at me, or but what are you staring at? You're like, you've got on stage, you dipshit.
Yeah.
And shouted. And it's like when someone shouts in the pub and goes, hi, mate. And everyone turns around and they go, what are you looking at? You shouted. That's why we're looking. Because you shouted and you made a big scene. And now you like us looking, but you don't want to be seen to like us looking. They're mad. They're mentally ill. And it's become they are mentally ill. They're emotionally depraved and emotionally retarded, quite frankly. And that has become a virtue. Like, you are emotionally retarded. You should be further on in your emotional journey than you are at 18, but you're not. And that's not a thing that you should be, that you need to be proud of. That's something to go and get some help for.
You've been working with kids for a long time, right? So you know the difference. What is what's causing this? What's making them so deficient?
Social media had a massive, massive thing in it. Social media being able to see yourself on everything, and everything, you created your avatar online. So you have you, and then you have your online you. And people, and I think it happens to us as older, but because we kind of escaped out the back end and knew what life was like before the internet, we kind of see it, but they don't see it because they were born into it. So they would rather die than their online persona not be seen and die.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we're getting into the metaverse. What the fuck are these people going to do there? We're never going to... Hey, listen, we may never see them again, right?
No, they might be in a head in a jar as long as their online online persona look great.
Yeah, we're like Vanilla Sky shit now.
Yeah, that film creeped me out. I only watched it once, so this is not as sexy as I thought it was going to be at all.
You thought Tom Cruise, you thought we're on.
I thought we're on here. Tom Cruise, Cameron, is it Cameron Diaz in that one?
Yeah. One thing I noticed about the woke lot, though, is during a pandemic, you do not want to knock about them because they all know loads of people that have died of it. And I look at them and I think, do you know what? I wouldn't want to hang around with you anyway, and I definitely don't now. Because you'll go, right, do you know anyone? No. Do you know anyone? No. No, you. What's your name? Twiggy. Right. Do you know anyone? Yeah, you know, 42 people. Right. Yeah. All in your class. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. They're all like that. Every time I see someone online, you know, saying this is killing hundreds of thousands of people. My best friend's auntie, all five of them died. And you just click on their, oh, they've got pronouns, BLM. Yeah. LGBT flag, or they're a Labour voter.
Right. I used to date someone, and on her profile, she's got raging feminist. It's brilliant. You're a raging feminist. How could you be raging well, anything?
Like an erection or a headache.
It's both, to be fair. It's just like a raging feminist. And I was like, there's a reason why we didn't work out, love. A raging feminist. This is what they're like. That's mental. You're putting it on your thing. You're angry feminist, but not just angry. She's raging. And then there's the whole everything else. His, hers, is, and again, it's mad. They are mentally ill, though. And the problem with that is, I don't have a problem with that, them being mentally ill. Just leave me the fuck alone. I'm going to say you're mentally ill when you are. But they're given jobs as psychologists, as doctors, as nurses, as scientists professors. And professors. But you are mentally ill. And they go, but it's acceptable. And the problem we're having now is that people who have got common sense are being seen to be dangerous. And people who are mentally ill are the ones that are being propped up because that's what serves the agenda. And then we're going into a very, very dangerous world where the mentally ill of the world are going to be the celebrated. And they are already.
Yeah.
But it's going to the point now which we're in like Viz world. We're in La La Land now. These people are mentally, mentally ill.
US, they've taken over the university system.
Yeah,
and they have made it so that a professor standing in front of his class has to, like, first of all, like, right off the bat, apologize for their whiteness.
Fuck so.
Then they have to make sure that the books that are on the class syllabus don't contain any words that might make the students feel all icky inside and need a safe space. And if you go against that, then they just one of the students leaves in the middle of class, goes to the dean's office, grabs him by the tie, drags him back in and says, watch this Nazi teaching us about cisgendered men. And then the dean goes, I don't want to revolt. You're fired. And now they're firing professors for not being, I don't
mental.
Know. Mental enough. It's crazy. I see it here, and I just didn't know if this flavor of insanity was being exported elsewhere or.
Oh, it's global, mate.
Yeah.
It's global. Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to get over raging feminist. I love that in a bio. Could you imagine if you'd met her in a bar and she said her name, but you forgot, like you'd lost the number. You're like, oh man, but I remember her name. Right. I'll search on social media. And you just see that and go,
yeah. Which would have saved me a lot of hassle, to be fair. I would have thought she was going, I think her name's Rachel Feminine or something. Feminine? Rachel Feminine or something like that. She was very angry. I have no idea. She was very, very angry. She had rainbows everywhere and multicolored hair. And every time I see her, she's got different color hair. But this was, I'm not even joking though. I'm actually not joking. This is a carbon copy of someone I dated who does those things. And that is what's happened. Basically, that is what's happened. That characterism that is a put on character is a off the shelf character that they put on. That has become now what's okay to go out and be a psychologist and go out to be a teacher or a professor or a scientist. And we've tipped on the tipping point. And I think with the dying breed of the common sense is dying out. And I think it's dying out with our generation. We're fucked if we can't keep this information going with our kids, because the kids need to be able to look at these people and go, Dad, that seems weird. Yes, it is. And it's okay to say that's mental and mad. And I don't care what anyone says. And that backbone to go, I don't care what you call me. You call me all sorts. I think you're a fucking nutter. And I don't give a shit. Where's that manliness gone? I mean, I'm 5'4", fuck's sake. Do you know, where's that blokeness gone? I'm gone, that manliness of, or just that womanliness, that whole fire in your belly have gone, that's bollocks. That fire in a woman's belly or a man's belly have gone, that's bollocks, and I'm going to tell you is. And I don't give a shit what you call me. Why do we start caring what people call us, label us? And call me what you like. I couldn't give a shit. I know I'm all right.
Yeah.
It has to stop there at your door of going, you can label me whatever you want. It's going through. I'm going through the system of your nonsense, your madness, and you're labeling me. You're mad. Why would I care what you think? You're nutter.
I'm just thinking one thing they've done, though, as well, is they've got rid of sort of nuance and reason and the grey area. So I looked at it this week. you know, it's kind of been like that for a while. And in that whole, you have those people that you could look out the window on a beautiful sunny day, and if Hitler said nice day in it, you'd go, now it's raining, like, because Hitler said it. And you kind of have that a bit anyway, but it's worse now. And I've seen so much of it with this whole Rittenhouse thing. So obviously the guy, you know, has shot three people. Now you then make of that what you will. Should he have had a gun? All that stuff. That's another conversation. You go and have that conversation. But at the end of the day, the guy's killed two paedophiles, convicted paedophiles, one of which I believe sodomized young lads, right? Okay. Not the greatest people in the world. But so there's no nuance. So I was seeing kind of, you know, liberal blue ticks, including like Hollywood actors and stuff, tweeting their rest in peace, God rest their souls. And it's like, look, you don't even need to like this Rittenhouse guy. You don't need to like him. You don't need to think he's innocent even, or whatever. You know, you can think he's some far right Trump's whatever, think what you want about him. But you do realize you're saying rest in peace and God rest to guys that are paedophiles.
Right.
But you can't have that gray area. So, oh, hang on. He's Republican, isn't he? So Republican shot. Okay. I'm with them then. Well, no, you can just not be with either of them. Yeah. But that's what people can't do.
How did they make it a race thing as well? How I've seen Sharon Hayes as a singer I used to like from Savage Garden years ago, and he's very woke, and he's talking about it being a race thing. I'm like, how did you make that a race thing?
I mean, white guy shoots three white guys.
Yeah, how is that a race thing? If it had been a black guy, we would have got away with it. This is how they did it.
You're MSNBC ill. Started talking about three protesters at a Black Lives Matter rally. And everyone, and they never went any further. They just kept saying three protesters at a Black Lives Rally matter, Black Lives Matter rally. And so everyone just goes, oh, it must be black guys, but it wasn't. Hmm. First of all, they weren't protesters; they were rioting. And second of all, they weren't black. And what's funny? It's a fascinating case study in media manipulation and picking teams too, because you'll have people that are like, I'll see this on Twitter every now and then. Like last week, I saw this happen a couple different times where people were like, I'm sorry, but I'm really liberal and I get my news from MSNBC. And I just now figured out that the three guys that he shot weren't black. I was under the impression that they were. And it's like, yeah, dummy, welcome to the party. Like, what trial are you watching? Like, if you would watch the trial, you would see what was going on. But it was so crazy that like reality, if you watched the trial on the left, you were watching a different trial than everybody else. If you watched it on the right perspective, you were watching, you know, two pedophiles and a convicted burglar get shot by a kid, you know, who is defending himself. But if you watch it on MSNBC, white nationalist with an unlicensed gun goes across state lines and murders Black Lives Matter protesters. And everyone's like, this guy needs the death penalty. And when it didn't come, they're like, there's no justice in this world. It's like, hey, fucknut, did you even pay attention to anything? Like, everything in your head about this whole trial is incorrect, all of it. But they're going to be the loudest people on social media. It's Mark Ruffalo. Oh my God, what a piece of shit he is. He's out thoughts and prayers. Joseph Rosenbaum, all this stuff, dude. I understand you're from Hollywood where they love this shit, but he sodomized five children. Thoughts and prayers? That's who you want to tie yourself to? Like, what's the matter with you? So we have a really broken media system here that is fueling this stuff, that is creating like parallel realities where, depending on what your political affiliation is, the sky might be green in your reality. Like, it really might be. But we have all this division. But in the UK, does BBC sort of collectively all come together, or is there a division in the media in the UK the way there is in the US?
There's a division until certain things. So vaccines, for one, can't talk about them. Right. You could pick up the Daily Mail and you could pick up the Independent, right? And the Independent is going to be all about, you know, Black Lives Matter, all about climate change, all about pro-Europe. And then you're going to have the Daily Mail, which is going to be kind of pro the police in that argument, kind of more sort of skeptical of climate change, skeptical of Extinction Rebellion. And then they're obviously going to be more sort of pro-Britain, pro-Brexit. But then when it comes to the vaccines, bang, safe and effective, shut your mouth, anti-vaxxers. And so I always think if you've got something that the media won't, it won't touch, then that's where you need to be looking. And to be honest, even in the States, with the exception probably of Tucker Carlson, no one's touching the vaccines, are they?
No,
not really. Either side
not
of the
divide. Not in a real way. No,
no,
no.
That's how you know. That's how you know, then, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's the same. Yeah, it's the same sort of thing here. It's the right. The Fox Newses of the world are talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, he's a hero, and the MSNBCs are talking about how he should have been taken out and guillotined after the trial. But we all agree that his trial would have been a lot worse if he hadn't been vaccinated.
Basically, it would have been. It's a pincer movement, isn't it? And like a pincer, you need both sides.
Yeah.
So you have to have these two extreme sides to be able to push them together to move society forward or whatever. And I hate that term society because it's like saying a water for a bath. It's like we're society, we are people making this shit happen. And what I found really weird is that the internet has become where the world is and then it gets played out in the real world. It's really done, it's gone inside out. So the world now functions on the internet and on the TV, and then you go out into the world and play it out. And it's like the beast system is there already. And people talk about the beast system coming on. The beast system is the internet. It's been there for 20 plus years now. It creates a world of understanding in this world. And most of it now is mainstream because they're chucking us off of everything. And then these people react to it and go out into the world and play it out in the world. So the same principle can be like self for the canon, the Bible or whatever. You can put something around for a very long time and people start believing it enough that they'll go out and make it happen in the real world and they'll call it a prophecy. Well, no, you wrote it 2000 years ago and you gave weight to it and then people went out and made it happen and then said that was that. People are doing this in reaction to the control that's coming through the screen or mainstream media and the internet. And that obviously we know that's going to be governed. We have the online harms bill coming here soon, which is going to make it an absolute tyranny around the world, in the UK, sorry, here. And what I can't understand is that people that work at the BBC, work at ITV, they are people too. And they know that it's coming for them. It's coming to their door. They know that it is. And how long can they bury their head in the sand and be complicit in this before it knocks on their door? That's why I think you see people like these James, is it James O'Brien and the other James, I can't remember his name. James Whale. I'm not being funny, but to me, they look like complete pissheads who turn up half hungover to their jobs and terrified. They must go home and absolutely ruin themselves. They look unhealthy. They look like they're dying. They look like they don't want to be alive anymore. And they look dead inside, but they're inside the system. And we're on the outside of the system. And we've got to do everything we can to stay outside the system. I don't want to be part of that system. But then we need to come to the conclusion, I suppose, is that if we're going to choose to be outside the system, what is that going to look like for us? Because it's not going to be easy, but I'm not getting inside that system.
That health minister in Australia that's turned around in the video? It looks like he's doing coke and he turns around and he just goes running into the meeting. He's like, I'm going to tell you, you cunts, you got to stay in your house. And he goes crazy and he doesn't blink and everything. Like, what?
That'll be the next thing. They'll be able to just call cunts on live TV. When you just go and the news comes down, hello, cunts. Have you got your vaccine yet? Off, done. And we're like, that'd be it.
That's what I expect from this guy. I mean, this is Australia. I mean, whoa, my God, this insanity has broken out in a way that, I have a pretty active imagination. I've read a lot of books. I feel like I have a decent understanding of where things could go. But I got to be honest, man, I didn't see Australia happening this quickly. Maybe I should have. Maybe that was my fault for not recognizing the signs. But they went straight to like authoritarian lockdowns and concentration camps in less than 2 years. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Who's making the call on that? Is this the World Economic Forum or is this like who what's your best guess? We'll wrap up with this stuff.
They all tie into each other anyway. If you look at the Young Global Leaders, which was started by Klaus Schwab, up until 2005, it was known as the 2020 initiative, which I find interesting in terms of the year. But you look at the people that came through that, you know, all the people in positions of power across the world, your Adams, your Macrons, your Merkels, all came through there. Your, you know, and then even your influencers, so your DiCaprios came through there, your TV doctors came through there. The heads of Google, of Facebook, even James Wales of Wikipedia fame, they all came through there, and now they've all been strategically put into all these positions. And that all ties into the World Economic Forum, you know, and also the fact that Australia is massively owned by China, that they're always going to be further down the line. The same as New Zealand. But I also think, as you know, Rich touched on earlier, the population, you know, Australia is a vast country with not very many people in it. So it's a hell of a lot easier to control because it's not as densely populated.
Yeah.
I feel for mates in Australia. I've got friends there because for England, at least, Australia is one of those places that people go, you know, they go and emigrate to Australia. And, you know, I'm getting messages from friends that have they're just screwed, basically. Yeah.
I should have known it because I was in, I was in Acapulco and I was leaving. I was in the airport. I was on the same flight as your dad leaving in Acapulco in 2019. I was going to Denver, he was going to LA, and then LA to Australia, and got stopped there, right? And when they took the
revoked the visa.
I should have known. After that, I thought, God, that's really weird, Australia of all places. Okay, well, maybe they're just not feeling the David Icke thing, I guess. And I figured in my head I was just like limited to him. But maybe I should have opened myself up to the possibility that is just going to be like a hotbed of authoritarianism or the test market. We'll figure some things out. We'll do some things wrong. We'll do some things right. Build some camps. Maybe we build them too early, but whatever. We'll put the Aborigines in there. Nobody cares about them, right? And nobody will advocate for them. So we'll stick them in there and see what happens. I feel like they're like running like a test kitchen where they're like playing with all the ingredients there in Australia and going, this tastes a little too bland. Let's add some sugar. Let's add some authoritarian. Let's add drones with cameras and maybe guns. Yeah.
It's a perfect place though, because it's the arse end of nowhere, isn't it? In terms of the rest of the world, it's well tucked away. People don't really go there unless they're going there. Like, you don't go through Australia. Like, I'll just quickly turn left at Australia. It's like, you go there for the purpose of going there. And so they've almost got that kind of like nice controlled out in the back garden, away from the rest of the world, where we can, like you say, just tinker and do these things. And without social media, for all its faults, we wouldn't know half of what's going on there.
Right.
You know, and to be fair, Israel was the same early doors. That was another test bed, I think, Israel, where, again, it's not a highly visited place, really. You go there if you're going there. You don't tend to just call in Israel and pick up a few bits, then off you go. Right. And so they did the same there, you know, the same in New Zealand, I guess. It's interesting where places like Britain and the United States, which people pass through a lot and have a lot of things going on, don't tend to be going yet, at least to those levels.
Yeah.
I think people need to learn a little bit from the Israel thing of, okay, we created this Rothschild-created country for all the people that suffered in World War II, or the Jewish people, and then obviously with Russians, Jewish, Germans, all sorts of things get spoken about, but that was specifically meant to be a safe haven. Look at the safe havens you're giving yourself now, because look what they did. They set a trap for them. They bunged them all over there. They created a country for them, and they put a bowl over them, not a bowl over a fucking mouse in the kitchen. That's what they created for you. That's the safe havens they create. They create a little bubble for you, and then they pen you in, and that's what they do. So anyone taking these things, you're going to be logged into your technocratic system. It's a bowl over your head. So you're a mouse in the kitchen, and they're sticking a bowl over you. That's what they're doing for you. You might feel safe right now, but it's their system, it's their cage, it's their walls, it's their fence, their electric fence around you. So why would you trust your abuser to create you a safe place? It's mad, but that's what's happening. And you're better off out, even if it means worse than what you've got now. You're better off out of underneath that bowl than you are under that bowl and safe. you're better off wandering around trying to figure out where else to go, because that's what's happening. And these places, as you say, they were supposed to be safe places. Wasn't Australia a place where all the prisoners were? Something to do that the prisoners were originally put over there from the UK, there as a place to rehabilitate people. And look at that now. Look at New Zealand. Look at Israel. Look at Italy. And then you look at places like the UK. The reason why the UK isn't, because they function out of the City of London. It's as simple as that. That's there. That's Rome. It's New Troy. That's what it was originally called, Londonia, but before that was New Troy. This is where the cult operate from. That, Sweden, I think it's Sweden, Switzerland, them sort of places, and France. They need to keep these kind of functioning because they need them. And we're just lucky, I think, that we are here, to be honest, because they need the City of London, but not for long. And that's what we know. The world is shifting. The economy's crashed. And after 90 years, I think I read this in your book, Charlie, after 90 years, the economy just dies on its arse and they have to restart it. That's what's happened. And they've seen this come in, and they need a digital currency. World Economic Forum, that's why they're involved. That's why all of this is happening. It's all about shifting the economy around and changing the way the world works. And it needs to be online. It needs to be technocracy. And without it, they don't know what to do. They've got no work because they've caused mayhem. So they've seen this coming, and Europe, Brexit, and all of this, all part of it. It's all absolute part of it. And I think an important bit before I sort of sharpen is that to understand that there's these bloodlines behind these way, way deep in these European bloodlines, black nobility, they're called, they call them. And there's some great books out there that talk about these families, because these families are crime families that go back decades and centuries. And that's where the real power seems to lie, although it probably goes way beyond my understanding.
What's coming up on Glitch in the Code?
I'm actually wrapping that up soon, because I'm starting a deep dive, which is an extension of Gareth's show, which I'll be going into 1 hour interviews, as opposed to like the 10 minute sections that they do on right now. So right now, Deep Dive actually launches the 30th of January. We're shooting some promos for it today in the studio. So I'll be wrapping that soon. But I've got a few more left now, about 5 or 6, but I must have done about nearly going on 300 episodes of that over the years. So I think it's time to sort of try something else now, really.
Gaz, where are you walking to? You're walking.
I'm not walking anywhere till next year. Although Jay, this has come off. Jay was talking about
like Freddie Mercury. It's brilliant.
It is a bit actually. Yeah, just ignore that. Ignore that bit. There you go.
Look at that. That's Freddie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay was talking about going around the former Yugoslavia, me and Rich then went, "Do you know what's going on in the world?" So I think that's not going to happen, obviously. So I think Scotland, innit, Rich, we're thinking. Go walking around Scotland. Mind you, Sturgeon's a lunatic. She blocked me on Twitter the other day. She's a lunatic. So who knows what Scotland's going to be like? But that's the idea.
Around Derby.
Do you know what? I've actually made quite a few really good sort of connections with people around Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire, because I'm well into like the old Industrial Revolution stuff. And so if you wanted to say you went, right, we need to shoot a series next week and we don't have anywhere to go or anything to do, honestly, you could give me half an hour and we could put together a really good walking series on like the Industrial Revolution the old workhouses and the way the kids were treated and all this sort of, you know, the kind of overtaking of orphanages and manipulating, you know, kids into then, you know, paedophilia and all this sort of stuff. We could do, I mean, it's not very uplifting, to be honest, but we'd be able to make a series on that in no time. So that might end up being what we do, to be honest, depending on where the world goes.
Yeah.
Gareth Eich is the host of The Walk on Iconic. Rich Willett is the host of Glitch in the Code. Together, they are the hosts of WTAF, also on Iconic. And if you aren't on Iconic, well, maybe go check it out. It's kind of like the Netflix of alternative media. There's a whole lot on there. It's not just conspiracy related. There's health and wellness. There's a whole lot of it's a real uplifting and positive platform. So for people that are interested, you can go to ICKONIC.com, iconic.com, and check it out. You can follow this if you like this show, and why the fuck wouldn't you? Share it with your friends and family right now. Take that additional step. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.